Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour, and this is the program literally that you have said on air has saved lives, because it has. It's Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents today. Very skilled surgeon, Dr. Michael Biloff, a bariatric surgeon, and that is the topic, so we won't bury the lead. We'll give it right up front. That's the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Biloff, very impressive man. Board certified, general surgery, specialty training, robotic surgical techniques, Newark Beth Israel Medical Center, Newark, New Jersey, residency, internal medicine, North Shore University Hospital, Manhasset, New York, general surgery, chief resident, St. Barnabas Medical Center in Livingston, New Jersey, and really a great doctor and a wonderful guest that we have visited with before, so let's get right into it. Dr. Biloff, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Harry. Good morning. How are you?
It's great to be with you and doing great. Let's get right into it. What is bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so bariatric surgery is essentially weight loss surgery. I think the word actually derives from some underlying Greek word, which I honestly don't recall at the moment, but it basically means weight loss surgery. So surgery that's done with various procedures, as I'm sure we'll get into, but procedures that are done for the goal of weight loss, but more broadly, improving the patient's overall health, which comes as a result of that weight loss.
Now, we know there are folks listening right now that say, oh, I got to lose a certain amount of weight. And then you would meet with them and you might say, hey, I think you can do it in the gym. I think you can do it by diet. I think you can do it by combination, diet and exercise and so on. So then they might be an accidental tourist and not a candidate for bariatric surgery. Who is a candidate for bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty straightforward criteria that may not be obvious to the sort of general public, but it's based on something called BMI, body mass index, which is a very straightforward ratio of height to weight. So if you go to our website, just go to Google, type in BMI calculator. It'll take you to any number of websites where you just basically put in your height and weight, and it tells you your BMI. And essentially, if the patient's BMI is over 40, then they are a candidate for weight loss surgery. If the BMI is less than 35, then they're not a candidate for weight loss surgery for the most part. And then between 35 and 40 is a bit of a gray zone, where it kind of depends on the specifics of the situation, the patient's medical situation. Roughly speaking, though, a BMI of 40 means the patient is about 100 pounds above what's ideal for their height. This isn't something, I need to lose 20 pounds for my high school reunion next year. I'm going to go do surgery. No, this is, a significant amount of weight above what's ideal for the height, generally associated with medical problems.
Now, there are cases where weight loss surgery is not a good choice, so it's not a choice for everyone who is overweight or obese. That is what I know, but I don't know why that is, but that's why you're here. You do know why that is. What's the reason?
Well, one would be just they're not a candidate based on the BMI criteria that I just mentioned, but assuming that they are, assuming that the BMI is over 40, I would argue that most of those people are candidates for weight loss surgery. Now, what are the exceptions? Well, all patients need to be cleared by a psychologist or a psychiatrist to make sure there's not an underlying eating disorder. So that would be one reason that would be, kind of exclude someone from the surgery. And the other things would just be more medical conditions that where surgery would be too high risk. So if they have really bad heart disease or really bad lung disease or some other medical problem that, would render them a very high risk candidate for any surgery. It has nothing to do with bariatric surgery, but just their risk of surgery itself is just too high to justify an operation. If your BMI is over 40 and you have even an inkling that this is something you might want to consider, probably your best bet is to come in and be evaluated. We can very easily kind of figure out if someone's truly a candidate based on medical criteria. And for the most part, most people who come in are actually, they are candidates for surgery, and then it's just a matter of whether or not they want to pursue it or not.
The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents, and we visit typically, it moves a little bit, but many, many times the very first Thursday of every month. Sometimes we move it to the second, but you always have plenty of advance notice to our listeners on that subject. And it's in the first half of the 9 o'clock hour always. And the wonderful guests from Deborah Heart Lung Center, like Dr. Michael Billoth, that do such a great job with patients, is our guest this half hour in this episode, which the topic is bariatric surgery. And obviously, Dr. Michael Billoth is a bariatric surgeon. So we have the right man at the right time at the right place. This, I think, is going to be of great interest to folks, because I think sometimes people hear certain procedures and things. But what are the different surgeries that can be done?
Yeah, so at this, it's, things have sort of evolved over the last, you know, I've been doing bariatric surgery now for 20 years, and things have really evolved over those last 20 years. So back when I started in 2003, the surgery that was done most commonly, and most folks will have heard of this, is called a gastric bypass. And around 2010, 2012, things began to shift away from that procedure to a surgery called a gastric sleeve. So if anyone's done any kind of research in this space or in this field, they probably have heard of that term. And if they know someone's had the surgery, the likelihood is that's what they probably had. So that's the thing we do most commonly, the gastric sleeve. There are other, we still do the gastric bypass, although much less frequently. And then there are some other procedures that are sort of, we'll call them very specific for targeted patients with, you know, very specific medical issues. But for the most part, those are the two big procedures that we do. I would just mention, some folks may have heard of the thing called the gastric band. We do not really, I personally don't, I haven't done a band in well over 10 years, and I don't really know anyone who's still doing them. It's kind of been a discredited procedure at this point, so very few people are doing them. And I would also mention there's a procedure called a gastric balloon, which some folks may have heard of if they've done some research. And that's a procedure, I guess I would just mention, insurance doesn't really cover it, so it's not really a very widely used procedure. So at this point, it's essentially the bypass and the sleeve.
I was going to mention that. Was it also called like lap band for some reason? And I haven't
correct.
Even thought of that term for, like you said, more than
right.
a decade. And if I'm correct, but correct me if I'm wrong, that band would go around so the stomach was the same size, but the band would basically only have a portion, a smaller portion of the stomach, so that when you would eat, you would feel full. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't people defeat that by overeating? And then that could wind up with some very bad outcomes, right? If that bursts or breaks or whatever. So was that what the band was? It was almost like, I don't want to call it a trick, but it made the stomach appear to be smaller, correct? So you got fuller quicker.
Yes, you got fuller quicker. The way I described it to patients back when I was doing it, as a just picture an hourglass. You know, there's a narrow point in the middle of the hourglass that kind of, you know, creates a, it's not an obstruction, but an area of a very slow flow. And essentially, that's what the band did. It created an hourglass effect at the very top part of your stomach, and so it induced a feeling of satiety, a feeling of feeling full very quickly. As a practical matter, it was rather easy to kind of out-eat, so to speak, the band, and very few patients were successful. So, I mean, in my own career, I put in, you know, several hundred, maybe even 1,000 of those bands back in the day when I was doing them frequently. I've taken out probably 80% of the bands I ever put in, either because they didn't work or there was some technical failure. So the number of patients that it really worked for was maybe 10 and 15%. So it, you know, it's hard to justify doing a procedure which has a, you know, only a 10 to 15% success rate. So we've really moved away from that procedure at this point. And again, personally, I haven't done one in many, many years.
Great information. We're going to come right back. We take only one break during Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents. And today it's Dr. Michael Billoff, and the topic is bariatric surgery. Deborah Heart Lung Center, they are accepting new patients. Two ways to navigate. It's your choice. Some people love to speak to someone, and I understand that fully. Some people love to go the digital route. So if you go to demanddeborah.org, we'll start there, and you'll see the hyperlink. You can't miss it. You'll click on that, and you can make an appointment via the website. And it's extremely easy to navigate and very well set up. So you can do that, or you can call 609-293-2785, 609-293-2785. Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Michael Billoth. We will be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Biloff. I am respectfully yours. Dr. Michael Biloff, who we love to visit with, is talking bariatric surgery. You know, I'm going to throw a wild card question out to you that we didn't show prep on, because I think it's an important one, and it just came to me right now. For the right candidate, bariatric surgery is obviously life-changing. It might be somebody would not be able to be mobile, couldn't do simple things, couldn't get around one flight of steps, and you feel like you're going to collapse or need oxygen. This can be, Dr. Biloff, incredibly life-changing, can it? Not to mention extend your lifetime.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Harry. Both the quality and the quantity of life is the way you describe the patient. So just imagine for a moment that today someone put a 100-pound pack on your back and told you to start walking around. How long would it be before your back hurt, your knee hurt, your hip hurt, before you were exhausted? Well, you know, every one of my patients is basically doing that, right? So as I mentioned before, if your BMI is 40, then you're approximately 100 pounds above what's ideal for the height, for your height. And so every one of my patients, if your BMI is 45 or 50, it's even more. And so every one of my patients basically is carrying around that 100 to 150-pound pack. And, you know, so obviously that hurts and causes them, their joints to hurt and causes them to be tired. So that comes off over the course of a year after the surgery. So they feel much better, just kind of subjectively, have more energy, you know, and that sort of thing. And also a nice side effect is their, you know, a lot of their medical problems get better, the blood pressure, the sleep apnea, the diabetes, and all of that adds up to a life extending, you know, quantity of life advantage as well.
So important. You mentioned earlier in your program, Dr. Biloff, gastric bypass. You mentioned gastric sleeve. You mentioned, but discounted, gastric balloon. So that's what they are, these different surgeries. How does bariatric surgery actually work?
Yeah, so all of these, and actually there is a third procedure that we do kind of very, you know, not quite as commonly, it's called the duodenal switch. But all of these surgeries basically work essentially in two ways. They restrict the amount of food a person can eat, so we make the stomach smaller in some way, excuse me, and they will have I'm going to describe it as sort of a chemical, kind of hormonal effect that, frankly, we're not exactly sure how it occurs, but there's a very profound sort of lack of appetite that occurs after this surgery. And that, combined with the stomach being made smaller, really is the main two mechanisms by which the weight loss occurs. I guess the one thing I would mention, like a caveat to that, is that at some point the appetite will come back. So we'll call it that hormonal lack of appetite effect. It doesn't last for a person's whole life. But it's not just a couple weeks or even a couple months. It typically is a year, maybe two, year and a half, two. And that's basically the time frame where the weight loss occurs. Once that appetite comes back, again, which it will, usually the weight loss will stop. Now, the stomach is still small, and there's other effects still going on, but that continues to restrict, you know, the amount of food a patient can eat, and that's how the weight loss can be maintained. So those are the two main effects that these surgeries have.
I've never heard that said so well before now. Dr. Biloff, yeah, I know you're not going to mind this question because I know you. Is bariatric surgery safe?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, I mean, like, for instance, I've mentioned in my case, I've been doing this for 20 years. Most bariatric surgeons that are out there now are either been in practice many years or have very specialized training, you know, fellowship kind of post-graduate training in this field. I would mention anyone who's listening and considering going to a bariatric surgery or having bariatric surgery, you want to go to someone who is doing at least, like in my case, is the only surgery I do, but you want to go to someone who's doing at least half of their practice is bariatric surgery. So you definitely want someone who's specialized. Assuming that that's the case, it's a very safe procedure. I mean, the way I'll usually describe it to a patient is it's no more risky than having your gallbladder taken out.
Oh, wow.
Or hip replacement surgery. Yeah. So it's very safe in experienced hands. Yes.
That put that in great context. And Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can either go to the website,
yes,
demanddeborah.org, or you can call 609-836-6607. That's 609-836-6607 to schedule an appointment. You mentioned that I didn't know this. I never heard someone say it so well. I didn't know about this one and a half to 2 year sort of appetite suppression thing. And that's my words, not yours, but it sort of was what you said. I never heard that before. So that's the window, the full window. How quickly can someone expect to start losing weight?
Right. So there's I typically tell patients the first month, the first 30 days after surgery, most patients will lose around 10% of their starting weight. So someone starts at, say, 300 pounds. They'll probably lose around 30 pounds in the first month. So that's a very dramatic kind of start, you know, to the process. After that, it will start to vary depending on how much a patient weighs. So if someone starts out around 400 pounds, they'll lose 40 pounds in the first month. And then after that, it's typically, depending on where they are, somewhere between, you know, 6 to 8 pounds to 14 to 16 pounds, depending on where they are. Our goal, the overall weight loss, so that's the kind of the trajectory, how quickly they lose the weight. At the end of that process, at the end of the year, you know, 15 months when the appetite comes back, our goal is to get everyone to a BMI of 30. So as I mentioned before, you know, patients that even have surgery have to have a BMI of 40 or higher. And the goal is to make sure they get down to at least the BMI of 30. So again, anyone who's listening can go to that, you know, the internet search engine and type in BMI calculator and just kind of put in different weights for their height, and they can see what a BMI of 30 is for them. Some people actually do better. Some people get down to a BMI of, you know, 25 or 26. But the goal, kind of my goal as the doctor, is to get everyone to a BMI of 30.
Very realistic. How does bariatric surgery, what does it do in terms of someone that has diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, things like that, that their weight could very well have been the reason they have these things?
Yeah, so that was what I mentioned before about both the quantity of life and the quality of life. So it will just help you live longer. That's been very well established now with, you know, kind of multiple studies. Patients live longer after bariatric surgery, and that the main reason for that is the things you just mentioned. So their diabetes gets better, their sleep apnea gets better, their high blood pressure gets better, and all of those things, you know, translate into a longer life, essentially.
Can they in some cases actually get to the point where it wouldn't register that you are diabetic, that you wouldn't have high blood pressure, that could be gone, and that you don't have sleep apnea? Can it actually end those things?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ari. So the short answer is yes. The longer answer is it somewhat depends. So for sleep apnea, most patients who come to my office with sleep apnea, I tell the patients 90% chance your sleep apnea is gone after a year. With high blood pressure, I tell patients it's sort of a 50-50 proposition. So high blood pressure is one of those diseases that, yes, your weight contributes, but there's also a fairly large genetic/family history component. There are plenty of people who are of normal weight who have high blood pressure, and clearly in that case it's just their genetics and family history, not really their weight. So for our patients who are overweight, clearly that aspect gets better, but if there's any residual risk just based on their genetics and family history, they may still have high blood pressure, although generally much better controlled on less medicine. And then diabetes is also, most patients get better. A fair number actually are completely non-diabetic. You know, that is, no medicines, just a normal blood sugar, don't have to check their blood sugars. Some patients still have some residual diabetes. It kind of depends on how bad the diabetes was going into the surgery. So if someone is, you know, taking very large doses of insulin, for instance, and they've been diabetic for more than 10 years, I think it'd be a bit of an overpromise to say your diabetes will completely go away. It will certainly get better. There's a very good chance you're off insulin, but you're probably still going to be on a pill or two. So you're on much less medicine with much better control of your diabetes. If someone's only taking a pill and has never been on insulin and has been diabetic less than 5 years, there's a very good chance their diabetes will just completely go away after the surgery.
Very important narrative with Dr. Michael Biloff. Deborah Heart Lung Center is presenting Dr. Biloff. The topic is bariatric surgery. And Deborah Heart Lung Center, they are accepting new patients. You can either go on the website, demanddeborah.org, or you can call 609-836-6607 to inquire and to make an appointment, 609-836-6607. This, I also think, is an important focus of your program today, Dr. Biloff, and that is, are there risks for women in getting pregnant after bariatric surgery?
Yeah, that one's pretty easy to answer. Basically, the answer is no. Now, obviously, you don't want to get pregnant during the weight loss phase, so you want to wait until your weight has sort of stabilized, which, as I mentioned before, would be about 12 to 18 months after surgery. But once you've reached that point and your weight's kind of stable, there's really no additional risk. In fact, actually, I would argue that pregnancy is safer at that point because you're closer to an ideal body weight. And, you know, getting pregnant when your BMI is over 40 has its own set of risks, right? That makes you a high-risk pregnancy patient just based on having a BMI over 40. Once the BMI gets down into that 25 to 30 range, which I mentioned is our goal, pregnancy is a much safer proposition. So the only risk is don't get pregnant during the weight loss phase. But once you're stable and your weight's, you know, kind of at a nice steady state, it's fine. I do want to mention one thing, Harry. Go back to the diabetes thing for a second.
Yeah.
Sometimes patients will say, well, my diabetes bill, you know, it's not that bad. Why do I need to do something, quote, so drastic as weight loss surgery? And, you know, there's some rationale there. My only kind of response to that is, if your diabetes gets worse and you do get to the point where you're on insulin, our window to kind of cure it, so to speak, has diminished significantly. So if you're going to do something, you know, your chance to kind of cure it is in the earlier stages before it gets really bad. Once it's reached the point where you're taking insulin, and the chance that you're actually going to cure it has probably closed, and, you know, you're still going to, even with surgery, you'll probably still be diabetic, although much better controlled. So there's an argument to be made that you want to do it sooner rather than later if that's something you're interested in doing. If, you know, if you've seen a parent, you know, an uncle go through diabetes and what that does to the body after, you know, 10 or 15 years, and you're interested and you say, I don't want that to happen to me, you would be better off doing it sooner rather than later.
Important follow-up. If I didn't look at the clock, I wouldn't believe that we're in the two-minute drill. I think this also was something that you touched on some of it, but I know it matters if someone was 300 pounds or 400 pounds. How much weight can someone lose? This is going to sound interesting. Can they lose too much weight, which is the exact opposite of the problem they had going in? And I think this also is something that people wonder if they've lost a lot of weight, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever it could be. Will they have excess skin? And what do you do about that?
Yeah, so the excess skin issue is obviously individual. Some people will, some people won't. It somewhat depends on your age, right? So if you lose 100 pounds in your 60s, you're probably going to have excess skin just because in our 60s, our skin is not as elastic as it is in our 20s. Sorry for the bad news there. So it's a function. It's supposed to be related to how much weight do you lose and how old were you when you lost it. So, you know, someone in their 20s probably won't have a lot of excess skin. Someone in their 60s almost certainly will. And, you know, in between, it just kind of depends. You know, how much weight did you lose and just your genetics, how elastic is your skin. That's mostly a cosmetic issue, not a medical issue. And if you really do have excess skin, the only way to really fix that is to have plastic surgery, which is not what I do, but we can certainly refer you to someone who does.
Final half.
The other question,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, the issue of can you lose too much weight? I mean, yeah, it's possible. Again, as a guy who's been doing this for 20 years, I can count on my two hands the number of patients who truly lost too much weight. So while it's theoretically a possible problem, it's something I see maybe once every 2 years.
Rare exception.
So it's not very rare, very rare, yeah.
I know we're going to get you out on time, but I want to ask you this real quick because I think people want to know this too. Dr. Biloff, what is the recovery time after bariatric surgery?
Yeah, so we do the surgery laparoscopically, which means very small incision. So the recovery is pretty rapid. You're in the hospital one night, and if everything looks good the next day, you'll go home. And I usually tell patients, if you're working, I'll tell you that you'll need to take off 2 weeks. Honestly, probably 30% of patients go back to work after 1 week, but I always tell patients plan on two. Very rarely does someone need a third week, but it does happen a couple times a year. But basically, it's one night in the hospital and 2 week recovery at home.
Dr. Biloff, always an honor to present you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Harry.
Thank you, sir. We will be right back. A reminder, Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can either go on the website, demanddeborah.com. www.ncbi.org or call 609-836-6607. That's 609-836-6607. You can already tell you're going to love Dr. Biloff. I mean, the professionalism, the skill sets, I mean, just elite masterclass, who I would go to. That's all I can tell you, is that's where I would go if I needed this. That's how much faith I have. That's another episode of DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Michael Biloff. We'll be right back.